The Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. That is our Advent theme, and as we were preparing this series, we could not think of a better verse to concentrate on as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Humility, humbleness. In the Old Testament, it never regards God as the upholder of a social justice system built on pride and wealth. And in the New Testament, Christian humility means a lack of concern for one's own prestige and consequently valuing others above self. Asking another what is needed instead of assuming, removing the superiority aspect of helping. Imagine if we lived in a world like that, each one of us doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly. And we are reminded that a couple weeks ago when we discussed what justice is, in our society we understand it wrong. We don't understand it the way that the Bible calls us to understand it. In our justice we were like, "I want justice," meaning I've been hurt. I want something for myself. Or that person deserves justice for what they have done and you want them to have punishment. But the biblical understanding of justice is just the opposite. It's about creating wholeness, where everyone is welcome, where we all recognize one another as children of the same Heavenly Father. And I use this phrase often, and I always will, as Abraham was given that charge. You have been blessed to be a blessing to others. How I wish we understood the fullness of that whenever I heard anyone say, "God bless America." Does that mean we have favored position? No. Biblically, it means we have been blessed. We have so much wealth. We have so much opportunity here. But that was given to us not for ourselves, but for the sake of the whole world. You've been blessed to be a blessing to all nations, is what Abraham says, is God tells Abraham. It would be good if we did likewise. But what keeps us from doing that? I think a lot of it is because we get caught up in our own world. We don't understand the needs of others. We don't understand what another is experiencing. And we often put blame on a person's situation on them and not the society as a whole. And this is countercultural. This is biblical, that we love one another as God loves us. There is a woman I met in college, and we always say, "So, where are you from? South Dakota. What are you studying?" "Social work." "Oh, why'd you choose social work?" She said, "Because I realize how much hurt there is in the world. and how little other people understand it. And then she went on to tell me about how she was just trying to graduate from high school. And in her graduation requirements, you had to do so many service hours. And she was like, service hours? What do I have to do? This is stupid. Because she was caught up in her own world. She was the daughter of some very wealthy people in town, people who held on to their own, lived in not a gated community, but in a prestigious one. She went to a private school. Everyone looked and acted like she did, except for one girl. And that girl, she was like, oh, she always goes to that shelter. I'll see if I can go with her. And so she asked, can I go to the shelter? What is that like? And she said, well, it's for women who can't take care of themselves anymore. They need some help. There's some children there. That's so sad. I could go help them. And so she went, thinking about how she was going to change their world. And as she was going, and she talked about it with her parents had the understanding that, well, you know, they made some bad choices in their life, and this is what happens when you do those things. She found just the opposite. As she walked into the shelter, it didn't look like what she thought it was going to look like. There were people, women sitting around talking to each other, children playing over in another area, and they greeted them. So glad you're here. Thanks for coming. What's the plan for today? Well, plan? What do you mean plan? And she was thinking, I'm here to help you. Well, this other girl, who she didn't know very well, said, here, let's go. And they started doing all these activities. And that just lowered everyone's anxiety and brought everybody together. And there was a moment where her friend said, are you crying? And she said, I just didn't imagine what this was like. That their stories, they didn't put themselves here. We did. We should be helping them. They should have the same opportunities that we have. And she said, that's why I became a social worker. Because I went to go change someone else's world, and they changed my world. They allowed me to see the world as it really is, that we need one another, that we need to do justice, which means bringing wholeness to the world. We need kindness. And not just that kindness like a pat on the head or the back, but arm around, full embrace, walking and caring for each other. That's the kindness that God speaks of in Micah. And to be humble. That she looked at herself and she looked at what she was wearing compared to what the others were wearing, and she's like, I don't really need all of this. I want to be with them, not away from them. And that's what so many of us have trouble with. The word humble implies a sense of caution. For the world is full of danger. There's much out there that can hurt or lead us astray. There's a common human arrogance that tries to fit God into a specific theology and then pretends to be more certain than a human has the right to be. That's what happened with the Pharisee, correct? He understood how the world worked. But as David Loess points out, this is what makes this parable so hard to preach. Indeed, what makes this parable a trap, for as soon as we fall prey to the temptation to divide humanity into any kind of groups, we have aligned ourselves squarely with the Pharisee. Whether our division is between righteousness and sinner, as with the Pharisee, or even between the self-righteous and the humble, as with Luke, we are doomed. Anytime you draw a line between who's in and who's out, this parable asserts, you will find God on the other side. Read this way. The parable ultimately escapes. Read this way. The parable ultimately escapes even its narrative setting and reveals that it is not about self-righteousness and humility any more than it is about a pious Pharisee and a desperate tax collector. Rather, this parable is about God. God who alone can judge the human heart. God who determines to justify the ungodly. Our walk through life is meant to be humble and can be safely traveled only if it is made with God. This humbleness is a form of discipline of self, not discipline of the other. Humility is a requirement of God. It is regarded as a most important trait of early Christian life. Since it is primarily an attitude and a mode of acting in regard to another, it does away with selfish pride, arrogance, especially violence, and furnishes the possibility of peace and harmony within a community. It withdraws the normal foundations of authority in human society, which are usually to be found in prestige and power. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. We are welcoming the Christ child. His authority was found not in power or prestige, but in the cross and the resurrection. And we are called to find our authority in the same. That you have been forgiven. That you have been born again. You are a child of God. So let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. Notice bend, that's a self action, not be bent. There's lots of Christians who want to have others' knees bent. It's a self acting. This college student needed to learn how to bend her knees to serve. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is what we are called to do likewise. As we hear, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That's countercultural. That is Christianity. Not the form that we see rampant in our world today, but as we see lived out by this high school student who had no church affiliation, but met Christ in the women she met at the shelter. Their humility, their understanding of the world, and welcoming her into their presence. Let me close with a word from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation, in every family, since the world began. We're preparing for Christmas, and you will be gathered with your family. May you gather as you are entering a shelter, meeting each one of them for who they are, where they're at, not where you would like them to be, and love them unconditionally as Christ loves us. Amen.